when the replay official did not stop the game?
I'm not going to comment on that. I'll get fined for the rest of my life if I get commented on that.
We had a great belief in our locker room. We didn't have to do anything special, just be us. I was so proud of this team. We had so much fun, it ought to be illegal.
Coach Harris, they don't talk. Is that something you just ignore?
Yeah, you ignore, because 1 week you're getting fired and the next week you're going to take another job, and I'm worried about the darn SEC West Championship. And so, yes, to answer your question.
Our purpose is to win, make no mistake about it, but it's to win the right way. And our goal, our stated goal, is going to be to win the SEC East.
That's iron sharpening iron. That's the way this thing's got to work, man. We got to know and understand that it's got to be about competition.
Talk about the reception you received from the fan base. Did you ever think you'd be kissing and hugging babies at the tarmac when you got off the plane?
A lot better than another tarmac experience that I had. I didn't think of that. It was like an anniversary or something like that.
We're coming. We're coming. And we ain't backing down.
You got control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. And we're presented by MyBookie. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin, Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, I hear you're cracking open a cold one like we'd like to do here. And, hey, we aren't the only ones doing it, Shane. I don't know if you saw this, but big news at a College Station.
Uh-oh.
The Aggies got themselves their own beer. It's called 12th Man Lager. And they're selling it at home games this year. How awesome is that?
Oh, I love it, man. Now, is it just a home game thing, or can we buy this stuff?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to find out. Maybe some of our Aggie listeners can, you know, fill us in on the details here. But it is for sure going to be sold at Kyle Field. And it's made from a local brewery there that was co-founded by an Aggie. So that's pretty awesome. But
I got you.
I'm trying to get my – maybe I should have – I sent a tweet out about it. I should have tagged Texas A&M. Let them know we're interested.
Well, they got something there. I mean, you got the 12th man, the 12th pack. You know what I'm saying? They definitely got stuff to work with. Maybe that 12th beer, it's like something that just like kind of worked its way in. You know, it doesn't have – all the hops or something, you know what I'm saying? Right. Just give it that theme, that fan theme. I don't know, man. I think this is a great move for the university. Now, I tweeted this thing out, and Vol Twitter attacked it like they usually do. It's like, probably tastes like collie sweat, you know? So I thought that was funny. But no, I think this is cool. I think every university should have their – because I saw a picture, too, it came out. Now, love to give the guy credit, but with the Arkansas beer, is that a thing, or is that just somebody made this?
Yeah, let's give that guy a shout out. Hog Ball Blog. He shared with us a Razorback Red American Red Ale from Springdale, Arkansas, from Core Brewing and Distilling Company. I mean, oof. But he says it's only local there, but hey, maybe we can get our hands on it. He says he may even deliver some, so.
Hey, I'm all for that, man. Now, I told you I was gonna like venture off the path a little bit, but I still got a couple silver bullets left, so I'm gonna knock those out before I try getting another brewski. But I did see also, Phil Fulmer, he's got his own deal. He's got the Yeehaw. So you know, yeah, maybe we should start looking into this, Mike. There's two or three universities already knocked out.
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, right as we're recording this, we like to start with something positive if we can. I got some good news here, Shane. So Will Muschamp on his radio show here on Thursday just announced that offensive lineman Jordan Rhodes, this is a guy that had previously opted out, he's opted back in. So there we go.
He's coming back.
Gamecocks got a little bit more added depth there on a guy that's played some ball. So you can never have too many linemen here, especially in a 10-game SEC slate. I'm getting fired up here.
Absolutely. I wish he would have opted in like week two, but you know, here we are, Mike. Just kidding. South Carolina needs some good news. So that's good for them, man.
All right, buddy. So we got a lot to talk about here. You ready to go around the league?
Let's do it.
Now let's go around the league.
My daughters said something about me wearing a visor and need to put on a hat because I'm getting bald. So I'm going to wear a hat from here on out.
I mean, if you look over the next 6 years, I think we played Miami 3 times, Florida State 6 times, South Florida 3 times, Mississippi State 1. So who's the SEC teams? You know, I mean, I think it's an injustice for the kids. We should mix those games up, and you should, play more teams from the West.
Why don't you start calling around and see if you can get somebody else to play us, and we'll play them. We'll play anybody you can get to play us.
And Louisiana, hold on a second.
Hey, guys! Hey! I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you.
All right, let's start real quick in Gainesville. Just a quick hitter. Speaking of South Carolina, this is going to be their first road game, week 2. But Florida has announced that their stadium capacity, much like the rest of the SEC, is going to be at 20%. So that's roughly 17,000 fans in the swamp. And unfortunately, they're not doing the Gator Walk. And a lot of there's no tailgating on campus, on Florida's campus, much like we've been hearing. But, you know, the only silver lining here, according to Florida, they're saying this is for the South Carolina game, obviously, which is the home opener, week 2, October 3rd. But they don't mention the rest of the schedule. So I think they're leaving some wiggle room here, Shane, to open this thing up. Hopefully, you know, we'll get to full capacity at some time. And they also note that no decision has been made on the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. So the fact that they made note of that makes me think that, hey, they are looking ahead to these dates and right, just leaving stuff open to where they hopefully they can open it all back up pretty soon.
That's again, Mike, just keep it open, keep it fluid, because I honestly, as long as we don't have any big setbacks week 1 or week 2, I fully expect them to open up capacity. So, as you know, I'm not a huge fan of this 20% rule. I think it should be up to the fans if they want to go in there and, you know, kind of have that Kirk Cousins. You see that, him coming he said, if I die, I die. That's what I'm thinking. If I'm going into Neyland, like, that should be my decision. And if I die, you know, whatever. So I went out watching what I love to do. So just kidding. I'm not trying to make light of the coronavirus or anything like that. But, you know, I'm with you. I think long as we don't have any major setbacks the first couple of weeks, I fully expect these guys to start, you know, opening it up a little bit more each week.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, not to go too veer off the subject too much here, I'm right there with you because I know this is pales in comparison, but so here in Nashville, they just opened the movie theaters back up. Mm-hmm. And my favorite movie director, Christopher Nolan, he's got his new movie out. They've been delaying it for months.
What is it?
It's called Tenet. And this is the guy that did like the Dark Knight Batman series and stuff like that, and Inception. And I said to myself, not that I debated it too much, but I have read that the movie theaters are like the most dangerous place to go. But at the end of the day, man, I love going to the movies, and I'll follow their rules. You know, I think they have a mask rule. I'm happy to follow the rules, and you just got to live your life. I mean, that's just an example of it. And if something bad happens, hey, I did it to myself, but I went out doing what I like doing. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I just, you know, I went to Walmart the other day. Good God, there's no rules, you know, at least in East Tennessee. I think there was a guy counting out front, but he was more interested in his phone, you know, so I don't know. Let him be. The numbers seem to be coming down where I'm at. So then again, maybe that's just optimistic thinking, and I haven't really been paying attention to it. It just feels like it ran its course. So anyway, yeah, before we go down that rabbit hole, let's reel it back in.
Speaking of paying attention, let's jump on down to Tuscaloosa.
Roll Tide!
Where, hey, I've been paying attention to what's been going on there in camp. And, you know, before we get into these comments from Nick Saban, you know, what is the common thread we keep hearing from that program? You know, how last year was such a disappointment. That's why Alex Leatherwood came back. That's why Josh McMillan came back. That's why Dylan Moses came back. And Saban seems like he's on a damn vengeance tour here. Alabama's not had a single opt-out. Not to say that they won't, but I'm not hearing anything about anyone considering it down there, so it doesn't look like the Crimson Tide are going to have any opt-outs, and that's big. So let's kick it over to Nick Saban. You know, and you know, another, just before he gets to the opt-outs, he was asked about the receiver core, and who's going to step up behind Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddell. So I thought that was, that's a hot topic down there in Tuscaloosa as well. But I got to hit you with something on the other side of this clip.
I think we have several receivers that are doing a nice job. Obviously, you know, we lost two great players. We have two great players coming back, and those two guys are both playing like great players. Mechie has done a really, really good job. So, you know, we have a lot of confidence in him. Slade Bolden has done a good job. We have confidence in him. So those are sort of the experienced guys. And then, you know, these freshmen, Javon Baker is showing promise. I think they all have. I just think they need to develop consistency and, A, knowing what to do, and, B, going out there and playing with confidence. And, you know, so far, you know, Baker's had the most continuity. You know, he's missed the least amount of practices. He's been out there the most. He's a very competitive guy. So he's done a good job so far, but I'm pleased with, you know, that entire core. Xavier Williams is, you know, showing improvement. So, I mean, the whole group, I think, has shown, you know, some marked improvement from last year, and they all need to continue to grow and develop, but I'm kind of pleased with the group.
Hey, Coach, what does it say about your team that, you know, you haven't had a player announce that they were opting out, and just what does that say about their decision and their commitment to play?
Well, you know, I'm excited about the fact that we have a bunch of guys that are committed to playing. You know, I know there's a lot of things going on in the world right now that can affect that, as we see on a daily basis in terms of choices and decisions that players make. But I think it's important that, you know, once you make a commitment to doing something, that, you know, it creates more value for you if you do it the right way. And you focus on what you need to do to be the best player that you can be and control the things that you can control. And I think everybody on our team can create value for themselves by playing. We're going to play a lot of good competition, playing all the SEC games this year. We have a chance to have a pretty good team. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of variables that we have to overcome this year relative to the circumstances that we're in. So I'm excited about the fact that the players are committed and I'm hopeful that everybody will stay very much committed. I have no reason to think that they won't, but it's a changing time right now in terms of how people get affected by various things. But our guys have been really, really good about it, and I've really enjoyed the fact that once these guys made a decision to try to play and try to accomplish something, they've all stayed pretty much committed to it.
All right, Shane. So, you know, I've been talking about the revenge tour down there in Tuscaloosa, you know, all camp long, because that's what we're hearing. The buzz is good. Mm-hmm. I'm not totally sold on Mac Jones. I've been pretty open with that. But having said all that, I hate to be a waffler here, and I hate to go chalk, but I'm picking Alabama not to go undefeated. I still think they'll lose a game or two. I think everybody will in the SEC because it's 10-game slate. But I'm picking Alabama to win the SEC West.
Ooh, buddy.
Ooh, backing off buddy. The Aggies.
Backing off the Aggies. And there we just talked. They're going to need that new 12th man beer. You know, they just had all that positive vibe from SEC Mike, and you just crushed that can, Mike. Well, I don't know what you're saying, because I've been saying it all along.
Right.
I just think that this is the year. I think this is the year that Alabama, I mean, we've always talked about them having a great team, and, you know, I don't want to kiss their ass like all these other media outlets do, but the fact of the matter is Nick Saban, every time he's coming out, he's got some positive news, and that's not like him. He's usually picking, and I'm sure I didn't hear all the clips, maybe you just picked the prettiest ones, you know, but it seems like every time I'm listening to Saban, he's talking about how good this team is. But you got to remember, Nick is also a hell of a salesman, and I think some of the best coaches in SEC, you know, and just in college football together, you have to be a good salesman, not just to the fans, not just to the media, but you also got to be to the players. So when he was talking about that opt-out, I think that's a lot about sales. You know, hey, we got something special here. We're creating something. This is going to be a great team. This is we just need everybody to buy in. And I think that's why they don't have that opt-out. It's because these players have been hearing it in the offseason that this is the year. This is the year Alabama gets back on top. So, look, SEC Mike's even changing his mind.
Now, I will say this, though, because I don't want to go total Alabama homer. I don't want to get, you know, just complete chalk talk here.
Mm-hmm.
If Alabama does not win the West this season,
yeah,
I don't think they're ever going to do it again under Nick Saban.
Oh.
How bold is that? And I'll tell you why, because we just saw LSU can play with them. I mean, yeah. They've lost so many guys. I still think they'll be able to play with them, but I think you got to favor Alabama considering all those losses. And Auburn beats them damn near half the time now. So, mm-hmm. And that's a program that's, you know, they recruit almost as well as Alabama. And then Texas A&M, you know, I'm not sitting here saying they're going to be seventh in the SEC now. I think they're going to finish second, but I think they can play with Alabama. They're just not as deep. And I think that's going to be critical in a 10-game season like this. And they've had a couple opt-outs. Not that, you know, those opt-outs are not really factoring into my pick here, but just mm-hmm. more the vibe from Alabama. But Texas A&M is just getting better and better. And I think we all agree, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, they all made massive improvements in coaching hires. So yeah. It's not like Alabama's just going to blow the doors off everybody like we're used to seeing. Like I said, I think they're going to lose a game or two.
Yeah, I mean.
But I still think at the end of the day, they're at the top, mostly because of their depth.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think this is more to do with depth, and I just think that they're going to be further along than most of the teams in the West. Texas A&M, you know, hey, buddy, did you hear that one?
What was that, thunder?
Hell yeah, Nick Saban, hear me talk about him again. The football gods getting cranked up. Do you think this is the year? Honestly, Mike, let's just play this little game real quick. Obviously, Nick Saban can't coach forever. It's got to come to an end at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Nick Saban is one of those coaches that's going to go out while he's on top? Or do you think he's going to pull like a Spurrier and say, you know what, this is going the wrong way? Like you were saying, maybe some of these other teams in the West catching up to him, and he's just, you know, hey, if I go now, you know, they'll remember me as the greatest coach ever.
I think he wants to go out on top with the national championship because if I'm not mistaken, I think he's tied for Bear Bryant for most of all time right now.
Okay.
So he wants to one-up him is what I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to be chasing that until he gets it.
Because I fully expect with the way the Big Ten's doing and everything that we're going to have some sort of college playoffs. I mean, the committee's still meeting. Mm-hmm. So I fully expect us to have some sort of national championship at the end of the year. Right now, what is this, September 3rd, 7:44 p.m. Mike, let me ask you, if Nick Saban wins the Natty this year, is it the last time he coaches at Alabama?
I'll say yes.
Ooh, because I'm also going to say yes. You know, his wife, she don't like his Corona talk. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Got his ass on that treadmill all the time. She's like, honey, you know, let's just chill at the lake. So I think this is the year too, man. I think if Alabama finds a way to win the national championship this year, I truly expect Nick Saban not to come back.
Mm. Well, let's skip it down. I mean, that's pretty bold, but let's skip it down to Oxford.
Planetario, miss.
Where the guy picked by Paul Feinbaum to be the first one to beat Nick Saban of his former assistants, Lane Kiffin. He was on the old Pat McAfee show, and my goodness, he was on a tear here. Like I said, he saves his best material for these shows here, doesn't he? But he went from everywhere about talking. Again, he keeps talking about how bad his situation is and all this and the pressure to beat Alabama. I thought this was hilarious. He talked about going to Rehab U, as he called it there in Tuscaloosa, to work for Nick Saban. And his bad behavior. He had to stay a little bit longer than you scheduled. And then finally, I thought this was great. He had some comments about Mike Leach and that heated rivalry. But it doesn't sound like he and Leach have much of a true rivalry at this point.
How do you focus on making 18 to 23-year-olds, sometimes 17, I guess, coming in, focus on getting better at football while also stressing to them how much they have to worry about standing too close to one of their best friends all the time? How do you balance that? That has to be quite a task, I assume.
Well, we got more issues than professional sports. You know, they're more mature, and for the most part, sounds like they're kind of on lockdown. You know, we got a whole nother issue that our kids leave us. They do well around us, you know, for a couple hours a day, and then they're out in the streets, you know, they're in class, they're, you know, at restaurants and stuff. And the problem is, in general, you know, not just kids, look at adults. Adults don't really social distance. I mean, you look at the internet all day, or you see things, or drive downtown, adults aren't doing it. So kids certainly aren't. So, you know, they've got to do their best to do it, even though most of the students they're around, they're not doing it.
Lane, what a situation you're in. Hey, go coach football, Lane. Coach football, Lane.
Go coach football. By the way, you had no spring practice, so you couldn't work with your players, okay? And now we actually don't have a training camp because everything is pushed back. Everyone's in school now for the most part, so we only have them a couple hours a day. But, hey, make sure you go beat Alabama.
Let's talk about Alabama. Obviously, coaching down there is something that a lot of people do, whether it's either in between head coaching gigs or before head coaching gigs. If you go there, you're going to get a head coaching job. There was always like this interesting kind of narrative about you and Saban's relationship. What did you take away from your time at Alabama, and what do you carry into your day to day from there?
You mean at the rehab university?
Yeah, everybody. Yeah.
You go there for rehab to get fixed, and then they, you know, good behavior. I wasn't great behavior. I'd go 3 years.
What did you learn at rehab, Coach?
Coach, Pat mentioned the Egg Bowl early on, and that's your guys' rival at Mississippi State, who also have a new coach in Mike Leach. And earlier on, he actually pulled your mask off at a press conference. Was that the beginning of the rivalry? And did you talk any shit to him after?
No, because that's just him. That's like, what he does. As you know. So I walked up, I hadn't seen him like for a year or something, and just pulls my mask. But you realize that's just like, that's Leachy. That's what he does. So he's an interesting character. I call him, you know, check in on him. He's always just like in Key West. I'm like, don't we like have a game in a couple of weeks?
Wait. 1 second. It's just about to hit again. Did you hear it?
Yes, sir.
Talk about losing to Bama. All right.
Oh, how about those comments? I mean, those were gold, weren't they?
Dude, I love this, man. This is what it's all about. And almost, I mean, I get Leach's Mississippi State, Ole Miss, that's the rivalry. But, man, I'm telling you, there's just something about that Alabama that, you know, that's all Kiffin wants. Kiff, obviously, he wants to own the state, but man, he'd love to whoop Nick Saban. You know, it's just you could just tell in his answers. But this is fantastic coverage right here. Great questions, great answers. This is what we signed up for when Lane Kiffin came back to the SEC.
Yeah, and man, now that he's talking about it, I mean, as heated as that Egg Bowl rivalry can get, it's almost like these guys will make it more entertaining, but in a completely different way. You know what I mean?
He said, aren't you supposed to be coaching a game in 2 weeks? He's down there at the beach, you know, in his ship. I love it.
All right, let's skip on down to Rocky Top next. It's where we had old Tennessee quarterback coach Chris Winkie talking about the progression. He talked quite a bit here. Didn't have a ton to say about, you know, Harrison Bailey impressed and yada, 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 same old stuff. Nothing too interesting. JT Shroud, he's seen him step up a little bit. But, of course, the talk all offseason, Jarrett Garantano, has he truly made that progression that Tennessee fans have been waiting for? And if not, he may be back for an eighth year on Rocky Top with his free year of eligibility. Let's kick it over to Chris Winkie.
Coach, you're a former quarterback. You played in multiple systems, you know, from one year to the next. From your personal experience, how big is it for Jared to have the same, you know, the same language for the first time in 2 years? And in part two of that is, what is your assessment of those new receivers?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt. You see the confidence in Jared. Having the opportunity to spend the whole offseason really studying this offense, watching a lot of film. I'll tell you what, I give a lot of credit to him. During this whole pandemic, when it started, I talked to him every single day, and there wasn't a day that I talked to him that he wasn't doing something to help himself get better, working out, throwing. He came in here weighing about 228 pounds, looks great, trying to keep all that weight on right now. But I think you see a different level of confidence in him because he has a better understanding of exactly what we're trying to get accomplished on every single play. So the second year in a system, as I mentioned or alluded to earlier, there's no doubt. There's just so much more familiarity, and you just see him be more comfortable, and he operates faster. And I think right now he's operating at a high level. So,
Coach, you mentioned that JG is operating at a high level right now. Just what is he doing to operate at a high level, and are those – things that he has tweaked since last season entering this fall camp?
Well, one, I think he, as I alluded to earlier, he focused on his body, making sure he's big, strong, and fast. And he focused on those physical sides of it. But more importantly, when I say operating at a high level, that's becoming a functional thinker, taking the information and being able to process it and then execute the play. And you just see him so much faster with his feet, with his decisions. His anticipation, in my opinion, has probably been the brightest spot since I've seen from a year ago. And now that he understands the big picture, he can see it and anticipate things much better now because he's more comfortable. So it's collectively really knowing and understanding and then physically being able to put it together. And he's operating as good as I've seen him since I've been here.
All right, Shane. So there you have it from old Coach Winkie, the quarterback's coach at Tennessee. Now, this is basically something we've been hearing for a long time, but, you know, to Garantano's credit, this is the first time ever he's going to have the same offensive coordinator 2 years in a row. Are you buying the Garantano hype?
My, you know, I want to. I'm a glass half full kind of guy. You know this. I'm a positive thinker, but it seems like I've heard this song and dance before. You know, that this is he's better. We know Garantano is a hell of a practicer. I mean, that's what he is. And maybe this, I mean, here's spin zone. Maybe this 20% fans in the stands may be to his benefit. There are not so many people watching him there. Maybe it's just a little less stress, less crowd noise. He doesn't get so amped up like he used to. Right. So, yes, I'm leaning a little more toward the positive. I like the fact that he's come out and he says he's bigger, faster, stronger. I think Garantano is one of the toughest damn quarterbacks in this league. And if he actually did get faster, I think that just opens up the playbook because there was little flashes of it last year. So, yes, I'm starting to buy into it. Now, I may get hurt week one, and then we're like, you know, bench his ass. Let's get somebody else in there. So I may be that guy, but I'm really hoping, Mike, I'm praying that this is true, that these words are true, that Garantano is, you know, the biggest part is when he said his reaction time is quicker, or I can't remember exactly how he worded it, but that's where he messed up last year. He held on to the ball way too long. That's why he got hit so much. That's why he had guys that were open for those brief windows that he just couldn't get to because he was just second guessing himself. He's got to pull the trigger. So if that's true, then yeah, man, I'm buying in big time.
Yeah, and Tennessee's going to need him to because South Carolina, I mean, their secondary is no joke. Mm-hmm. Missouri, we all know they changed coaches, but the same defensive staff outside of Barry Odom is returning, so that's going to be a solid unit. And then, of course, Georgia week three, so it's not like it's going to be, you know, any time for him to adjust. But, you know, going into your fifth year on the team, second year in the offense, really shouldn't need it. He's not going to have that excuse. But, yeah, I mean, I think it kind of defines I mean, we're not saying anything new here, but it basically defines Tennessee's chances. Either he gets it done or he doesn't, or, you know, a backup comes in and really shines. I mean, it's only those two options, I think.
Yeah, loaded quarterback room. So everybody's waiting. Everybody's pushing each other. I just he needed it. He needed the offseason. And I don't know. I'm buying into it, Mike. I am. I may get hurt. We may have a reaction podcast after that South Carolina game, and I may be a little upset and about 10 beers in. But if that's what happens, that's what happens. I think he's won the staff over. I hope he's not just a practice quarterback. I hope that he really does take that step this year.
We need to remind the listeners we're brought to you by mybookie.ag, the online sports book. And right now, for podcast listeners, any new customer to mybookie.ag, they will get 100% deposit match up to $1,000. So what that means is you go to mybookie.ag and put in the promo code THATSEC. MyBookie will match your initial deposit all the way up to $1,000. So you could start immediately with $2,000 just by using that promo code THATSEC. That's THAT. SEC. It's summertime at my bookie, and that means one thing: it's winning season, Shane. Unless you're cousin Shane.
Hey,
it's
hey. Simple. Easy. I'm still on here, Mike.
Winning season begins today only at my bookie. Once again, that's mybookie.ag. We're using the promo code THATSEC. Let's kick it on down to Fayetteville.
Woo pig!
Where old, both the coordinators spoke here recently for Arkansas. Kendall Briles, we're going to start with him, talking about, you know, Sam Pittman recently came out here and noted his team's out of shape. And, you know, I've been hearing a lot of good stuff out of the Arkansas camp. You know, obviously the coaches are not fully satisfied with where they're at, but I think they like their fight. They like the toughness. And I think they're just really trying to instill in this team that, you know, the effort of the past is not acceptable. And I mean, I think that is obvious, you know, so they're trying to instill that in them, and they're going to need to get here in better shape, and they're running out of time to do it. So Kendall Briles, he's not as harsh here as Sam Pittman. And I think that's kind of a good thing. And I think he really kind of lets everybody know who the quarterback is down there. And then a very important position for the Razorbacks this year, backup running back. Because we all know how good Rakeem Boyd is, but not only has he been injury prone, but, you know, if you don't know this Kendall Briles system, they spread you out. They look like an offense that's going to throw it all over the yard. But what it really is a power running game that's just really spread out. So these running backs, all these guys he mentions here, they're going to get a lot of carries this year, I think. And it's very important that he gets these guys ready to go for the season.
This was yesterday. Guys were in good shape, but not game shape. Where do you think what do you guys have to do to get in game shape, and especially when you want to run up tempo? What's the key to that? And do you have any concerns in that area as far as conditioning right now?
I don't have any concerns with where we're at right now. We do need to continue to work your practice to get in game shape. And you're right. When you play at tempo, at times it can be difficult on really all 11 guys on the field, especially if you're able to move the ball and stay on the field. And if you're doing that means you're making first down, which is always good. But I think as a entire football team, I would think that's what Coach Pittman was speaking of. And I agree with him. I don't think we're in game shape right now. We looked a little better today, but it was pretty nice. You know, we had a lot of special teams involved with that scrimmage as well. And so there's a lot of running up and down the field. So, you saw guys dragging their tongues a little bit. I think the want-to's there. We just got to keep striving and getting them in shape.
Feel good you guys will be where you want to be by Georgia week?
We will be.
Kendall, what are you looking to stress maybe in the upcoming scrimmage? What are the key parts of it for you? And how do you think quarterback reps will go in that one?
Stressing is just protecting the football. You know, that was – big thing last weekend is you got to protect the football and give yourself a chance to win every single game. So that's going to be our number one priority on off is to make sure that we're doing that and stressing that. The discipline within each and every play, just doing your job, trying to limit the missed assignments. That's also going to be a big deal for us. It's just, you know, seeing the signals lining up and being able to execute the play that's called. And so those are things that we're going to want to see. And what was the last part of your question?
The QBs, how you might split up the reps.
Yeah, those reps would be pretty much the way that they have been. The ones will be with Franks and twos with Jefferson. And then we're going to let those other guys roll through, and maybe we'll be able to slide those guys up with some of the two reps as well.
We haven't asked you one word about the running back. So I think we all know how Boyd performs. What's going on behind Boyd right now? Who's playing?
Treylon Smith is doing a tremendous job. Absolutely love that kid. I love his heart, his work ethic. You know, ever since I got here in January, all I've seen him do is work all the time. He's just a worker, and it's going to pay off. Smart kid. He understands the tempo, understands the offense, and an extremely tough kid. So he's been getting the reps behind Rakeem, and then, you know, Og had a little hiccup, and he was at running back as well. And then Spivey's looked good. And then our young guy, Dominique, he's had a nice camp as well. So we feel like, you know, Coach Smith has got a really good room there. And, you know, obviously Rakeem's going to be the lead dog.
All right, Shane. So it sounds like Kendall Briles pretty fired up with a lot of his tailbacks here. So I think that's really good news. And then with his comments there with the quarterback reps, again, it's pretty clear. This is Felipe Franks' team, don't you think?
Yeah, this is old Franks, and we talked about this a little bit last week, and I think it's clearly his job to lose. But, you know, I was more interested about that running back situation because it's got to be a committee this year, man. I mean, it's hard to be a – it's, you know, those Herschel Walker days, they're gone. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be this the one guy and could take it 30 times a game. Now, if anybody can, honestly, it's Boyd. He's one of those type of running backs. But you've seen it in the past. It doesn't take – you just never know. 10 SEC games, we're going to have some sort of committee. So I really like the comments about these other guys stepping up because he's going to need breaks, man. They're going to need a change of pace.
All right, skipping over to the other side of the ball, Barry Odom also spoke. And, hey, don't forget, you know, all the the offseason transition there, so many new faces. Don't forget, they landed Clemson graduate transfer on the defensive line, Xavier Kelly. Sounds like he's slated to have a huge role for Coach Odom's defense. He talks about that. I thought this was a great question, that now that Georgia doesn't have Jamie Newman, how does that adjust the game plan for week one? Because that's Arkansas's opponent. And then Coach Odom really does a deep dive here on the level of buy-in there in Fayetteville. And I think Arkansas fans are going to really appreciate his comments here.
Hey, Barry, I'm curious what your impressions have been of Xavier Kelly in camp, just what's standing out about him to this point.
Yeah, he's done a nice job. He's 315 pounds. He's got good power, plays with leverage, and he's got good quickness. You know, he's maybe a little bit quicker than I thought he would be, just his explosion at the point of attack, you know, in inside. And we've been able to move him around a little bit because of his skill set. So really, really excited that we have him. And he's going to have to play a lot of really good snaps for us this year.
Barry, Sam told us yesterday that you guys have yet to start prepping for Georgia. Big news coming out of Athens today with Jamie Newman opting out. When you guys do start prepping for the Bulldogs, how will that change your game prep and particularly game planning for whoever's going to play quarterback there?
Well, we've taken some time, you know, just on our own looking at our first opponent. You know, obviously I've played them the last 4 years, 5 years, went against them every year. They've got a very talented roster, great coaches. We're going to have to really study that. You know, I just heard that news before I walked into the room. So, you know, that maybe changes the dynamics of who they are. I know personnel-wise what they have, and I know what I've gone up against the last few years, and been a very disciplined, tough football team that attacks you in every area. And I know they've recruited extremely well. So we'll get on that this weekend for sure, heavy, and into next week starting, you know, for us defensively at least, trying to gather our thoughts on maybe what gives us our best chance.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about just the players and their buy-in with you guys. Are you feeling that? Last year, you know, there was a sense that wasn't happening with the players. are they buying into what you guys are selling right now?
Well, I think so, Trey. You look at the things that we put out in front of them and then the way that they've attacked it. Now, also, you know, everything hasn't been sunshine and rainbows. It never is. But that also, Coach Pittman has done such an amazing job on laying out the plan and just being honest and transparent and showing them this is the way that we're going to do things. This is our program. Giving them the roadmap of what it looks like. And we also understand there's going to be some adversity. How do we respond? How close can we get before this first game happens? Because there's going to be adversity in that first game. How are we going to respond from it? You know, what are we going to do, you know, when things don't go your way? All those things, that's never a, you know, you can put a check mark by it. Yeah, we've arrived. We've done that. It's an ongoing process. But I know the way that practices are structured, if, you know, the way that Coach Pittman has brought this plan into reality, you know, if you go out there and you're not really in and 2 feet in, you're going to get exposed really quickly. And I'm proud of what our guys have done up to this point. You know, we've got not enough. The time is ticking, and we've got, you know, no room for error. But our guys have done a great job. And I think they're hungry, Trey. I really do. I think they're hungry to be a good football team. And they understand that, you know, we've got to keep our head down. We've got to go to work. And we've got to be as close as we can as a team to withstand the you know, from schedule 1 to 10, what we've got coming.
All right, Shane. So all things considered, it sounds like Coach Odom is pretty pleased with just where the team's at here, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, no, I think he is. And, you know, I love the positive comments about Coach Pittman as well. Talking about the transparency. I mean, Arkansas knows what they're dealing with. They know where they're at. And Sam's coming out there. And that's why he's, you know, we talk about it. He doesn't do the same coach speak that a lot of these other guys are doing. He's just telling you the truth, man. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, yeah, our offense is at, what do you say, 85%. You know, I guarantee they're at 85%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He ain't beating around the bush. Are we exactly where we want? No. Are we as physical as we want? No, not yet, but we're getting there. And that's what I like. It just feels like a family. I mean, every time I see highlights from coaching staff from Arkansas, it just feels like a family. And that's what it takes. It takes all 11. It takes every player on that team, man. If they're going to upset some people, if they're going to make some noise this year, it's going to take the entire team. It's not going to take a couple of big hitters like Boyd or something like that. You know, we need the whole team to buy in, and that's kind of the same vibe I'm getting from Odom. That's the same vibe I get from Pitt. I mean, it's just I love it. I love it, man.
Yeah, and here's another example, in my opinion, why this was so big for Sam Pittman to go out and get Barry Odom, because obviously we all know Barry Odom's got head coaching experience in the SEC. He knows this league, but he also knows about getting a team ready and turning around a program. And he played for Gary Pinkel. He coached under Gary Pinkel. And Gary Pinkel, obviously the great Missouri coach, also I believe he's the winningest coach not only in Missouri history but in Toledo history. He's one of the few coaches that's an all-timer at two schools. So You're just seeing, I think, a lot of that experience. And that's, we all know Sam Pittman, elite offensive line coach, elite recruiter, but obviously is a little bit of a learning curve here being a head coach. And that's why you bring in a guy like Barry Odom, because as much as Odom's praising Pittman, I think behind closed doors, Pittman's probably doing the same for Odom. Yeah. for just, you know, being, you know, he's not going to listen to Odom on everything, but it's just someone to lean on and someone to support you and just get advice from. And you can tell, I think, that Coach Odom and Pittman are very, very close. And I think it's going to be huge for the Razorbacks. I think it's going to pay off in the end.
You know, those two get together every night. I mean, it just seems like they would, you know. Mm-hmm. They get in Coach Pittman's jacuzzi and drinking cold beers, talking about practice, you know. Coach gets his dog in there, that big – I'm sure he's got Big Ugga. I don't know what the name of his dog, but he's still got that big bulldog. So, you know what I'm saying? You remember that, what was that National Lampoon's – they got that dog in there, that jacuzzi. That's what I think, man. They're just two savants going at it.
All right, last stop on the around the SEC. Let's jump on down to College Station.
Giga Maggis.
where Jimbo Fisher met with the media here. And, you know, I thought this was kind of an important question here because this is the thing that I don't want to say is haunted. It's a little early in his tenure to say he's being haunted by an issue, but Texas A&M yet to really win that big game outside of the LSU 7 overtime affair. That's about the only one you can circle. Mm-hmm. And here we got Jamon Osmond, one of the senior players, came out and said, you know, they're not really getting it done at that big moment. So you can only imagine, if he's saying that in public, what's being said behind closed doors. So Fisher was asked about that. And then he was also asked about the level of commitment with, they've had a couple of players opt out here, defensive backs, two, Elijah Blades and Derek Turner here in recent days. Now, those guys by no means were like all SEC or anything, but just this week, those were the only two guys, I believe, that have opted out. But Coach Fisher kind of talks about the commitment there and heading into his third year in the program.
Coach, I know you always say every game is a big one, and you know, especially when you lose one. But Jamon had told us when we talked to him that he really went back and watched the so-called bigger games last year, the Bamas, the Clemsons, and it stood out to him that, you know, what he did on the practice field didn't necessarily translate sometimes to those big in-game situations. How do you teach that in fall camp? Because you know really big games are coming this year.
I think it's experience, and I think each guy learns to, as I say, the game slows down, the world slows down for how you're thinking and what you're doing in those situations. And I think it just takes experience sometimes. Sometimes you got to realize, you know, you want to play a big game, you think, well, I got to go do something special. No, most games are won by ordinary things, just doing them better than anybody else. And the big things naturally happen within the framework of the plays and how you do and work every day. And I think that just comes from experience and time and confidence in yourself and, you know, just letting it happen. And once all of a sudden it happens, you know, you always say, man, what was so hard about it? You know what I'm saying? So I think that's just part of maturing and growing and learning to play those situations.
And following up on something Gabe was asking you just a minute ago, specifically to the offensive line, are you seeing anything, indications yet from the freshmen that would make you feel like they could play as far as offensive linemen right away?
Well, I think in the offensive line, you see the ability. I mean, the guys there physically, we definitely do. Now it's just a matter of getting the reps, getting the time, getting all the things that go on the offensive line. Because, I mean, I don't know, and I say it all the time, I take it for granted how tough it is to come in as an offensive lineman as a freshman, the multitude of things you see. Not only, all right, that guy across from you is bigger, stronger, and faster than anybody I've ever seen, and then the twists and the stunts and the different looks that go on defense and everything that goes on. But, you know, we feel we're developing, and those guys are going to have to be ready. You have to get those guys ready to play this year because of you don't know the uncertainty of different things that can happen during the year. You know what I'm saying? So, but we've been very pleased with their progress so far. I'm anxious to watch them scrimmage.
Jimbo, given that most coaches never think they have enough time to prepare, I'm wondering how comfortable you are right now, a little more than 3 weeks from kickoff, with where you guys are.
Well, I'm never comfortable. Just like you said, you answered your own question. You're never comfortable. But I'm going to say this. I think our players have done an outstanding job because, you know, two things. They've done a great job with the virus, so they're out there on the practice field. So they're getting reps. I think they've done a great job that way. Our energy level's been good. And I think that you know, we're progressing right where I think we should be. I think our leadership has done a good job. And so, you know, going in this first scrimmage, I think we're about where we should be and what we're doing. And some of these young guys are picking things up, knowing, trying to give depth.
All right, Shane. So is it any concern to you that, you know, one of your seniors, I mean, maybe he's just calling it the way it is and saying we need to improve here. But, you know, I don't see any other third-year coaches like Dan Mullen or Jeremy Pruitt out here saying, well, we don't show up in the big games here. Is that a concern to you?
Yeah, very, very much so. And in fact, that's the first thing. When I heard that question, they were asking Jimbo what to do. It's just maybe he doesn't know what to do. I think the LSU game, I think the Alabama game, I think the Clemson game, it's just there was moments at the start of the season, but it just felt like Texas A&M just had that vibe that they didn't belong in that big game, and they did.
Well, let me pose it to you like this, Shane, because I agree with everything you're saying. But we've got several big games here for the Aggies on the schedule, and this is the issue that's haunting them. Week 2 at Alabama, week 3 home for Florida, week 7 at Tennessee, next to last week LSU. Those are the big games, and Auburn at the end of the year. But I don't really want to count Auburn. So of those games, at Alabama, Florida at home, at Tennessee, LSU at home, those are the big games. Is Texas A&M going to win any of those, do you think? We won't hold this prediction against you, but do they get over the hump? Do they get that big win this year?
Oh, yeah. No, this is the year, Mike. I truly believe it. I think that Alabama, Aggie, LSU, Auburn, I mean, they're just all in that little cluster of group, you know, and it could go either way. There's going to be games that I think Alabama comes away with. There's going to be games LSU comes away with. There's going to be games that Texas A&M comes away with.
Right.
I think that's what kind of season we're going to have. And I don't want to read too much into this comment. I mean, this is a kid that was asked a question, and we could take – I mean, I say a lot of dumb stuff, and if you slow it down and take that little piece and throw it on the internet, it's like, what kind of idiot is this, you know? I've said enough in this show. So, I mean, this kid doesn't have a mic in his face all the time, so maybe he's just – he didn't answer. If he could have thought about the question a little bit longer, maybe he would have said something different. Because the fact of the matter is, Mike, big games are different. You know, when you talk about the Floridas and you talk about the Alabama games, and yes, you're going to have more goosebumps, more butterflies in your stomach going into that game because we're human, you know? I mean – think about it. Think about you. I used to, back in the day when we were kids, I used to play hide and go seek with you guys. And, you know, I've always been a big guy. So when I find that good spot, you know, that like took me forever to get here and I got everything situated, I'd sit there and then I start getting anxious, Mike, you know, here I found this great freaking spot and they're going to find me. And before you get there, I'm already coming out of the spot because now I got to go take a shit because my stomach's upset. You know what I'm saying? It's human nature to get worked up on bigger games like this. So you probably didn't expect that curveball to come to you. Story, but this kid's the same way, man. He knows what the big games are. He knew what they were last year. And then when they stepped away, I'm sure they were questioning themselves if they should be there. Well, this year they should be there. This year it wouldn't surprise me, even though, you know, you had A&M for a long time and then you went to Alabama. It still wouldn't blow your mind if at the end of the year they said Texas A&M wins the West, would it? I mean, would it blow your mind if I told you at the end of these 10 games, the Aggies are the best team in the West?
No, absolutely not. I thought all offseason they could start 10-0, but then the damn schedule shifted on them.
Exactly. This roster's built for this year, man. So I'm not closing that chapter just yet. I think they're going to win. I think there's going to be some great games played this year, and a lot of them will be with Texas A&M.
All right, Shane. So that's all I've got around the league. You got anything before we hop off here for the weekend?
Yeah, buddy, I got some reviews.
Uh-oh.
All right. First off, Mike, I appreciate all the listeners hanging out with us today. It's been a long off season, but we're here, baby. We are here. And I appreciate the ones that took that step further and went and got their Apple product and gave us a rating review on iTunes. Those really do help us out. So I'd like to read a few of those. The first one here comes from Jeremy Kennedy. Great podcast. 5-star. Love the content from across the SEC landscape. Keep up the good work. Well, Jeremy Kennedy, I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy.
Next one comes from Haven't Mastered Football Yet. Killer name. Great podcast. 5-star. Great podcast. Love all the team's coverage. Well, Haven't Mastered Football Yet. You have mastered reviews, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, good one. Thanks.
Next one comes from T-Lane. Just awesome. 5-star. Just discovered this podcast, and it's awesome. One of my favorite podcasts. Well, T-Lane, I appreciate you.
Appreciate that one, Lang.
Next one comes from longtime listener, Jamie34. Tune in now. Best around. 5-star. I've been listening for a year and a half, and if you want the best information on all teams, it's here. If you want comedy, they got it via Cousin Shane. Cousin Joe is even good in a pinch. I texted him that the other day.
I sincerely look forward to these guys. You can tune in and just let the worries in your life kind of melt away for a bit. Let's face it, that's what's needed right now. They're super interactive with their listeners, kind of like extended family you've never met. They always bring a smile to my face, especially when Cousin Shen says my Vols are going undefeated. Well, Jamie 34, hit it all, baby. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Jamie. We got one of these new Tennessee koozies shipping their way to us. When we get it, we'll send you one.
Yeah. Next one comes from Maroon Man. Best SEC podcast, 5-star. Great show, guys. Keep up the great work. How about Cousin Shane record his reaction with a few minutes of every UT game finishing? On second thought, drunk folks shouldn't operate expensive electrical equipment. Maroon 5, you are correct, and I appreciate you. And I try not to get on, Mike. I do. But I tell you what, if we pull off one of these big upsets this year, I'm definitely going to get on. But there's no Georgia State on this schedule, baby. So there should be no upsets.
All right, thanks for that one, Maroon.
Next one comes from H. Hot. 5-star. 5-star. Mike and Shane are like peas and carrots. Best and funniest sports pod I've heard. Thanks and giggle. Well, H. Hot, thank you for putting that review in for Mike.
Just kidding. I just gave Alabama the kiss of death for you, Hot.
No, good. That's, I don't like that. Twisted it around. Next one comes, and H-Hot, I appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate that one.
Right. So does the dogs. Next one comes from Mike Bush 7. Awesome. 5-star. Love the show. Great job, guys. Well, Mike Bush 7, I love the name. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Mike Bush.
Next one comes from CRP884. Obsessed. 5-star. Man, he almost got me there. This is Auburn fan, clearly. I really appreciate the fact that you guys keep it real with your projections and takes all things SEC. I'm a diehard Auburn fan, but love everything about the SEC. Can't wait for the season to get started and watch Bo Nix take that huge step forward. We hope. Keep it up, guys. P.S. Would love to have a cold beer with you guys one day. Well, CRP, I'd love to have a cold beer with you. And, yes, I think this is the year that Bo Nix takes a big step. I think Auburn's right in that mix, buddy. What about you, Mike?
Nope. But, hey, I've been wrong before.
Mike, what are you talking? Get the hell out of here. I'm telling you, you're sleeping on Coach Morris. I know it sounds crazy. Save this clip. But I really think this offense is going to be new and improved next year. I think the defense – I mean, obviously took a hit with all the talent they had going to the NFL, but I think Bo Nix makes up for it on the offense side. Don't count these guys out. Hell, they beat Bama. Next one.
Wait, how about this? If I'm wrong, first beer's on me, CRP.
There we go. Next one, last one. This one comes from Spicy Avocado 2605. Cool name. Go Sports Ball. 5-star. Well, you guys have gone and done the near impossible, turned a non-football person into a college football fan. Growing up in the heart of Big 12 country, bless your heart, I never could understand all the hype for college football. Turns out, after catching a few Tennessee games last season, I was just watching the wrong conference. Go figure. I appreciate that the great commentary goes beyond the field and breaks it down so that even newbies like me can follow what's going on. I don't know if it was on purpose, but as others have mentioned, it genuinely feels like I'm listening to passionate football fans talking over drinks late into the night on the front porch. This podcast is one-stop shop. Mike brings the info and solid material, and Cousin Shane and Joe come in to add flavor and hilarious. Oh, God. There's one of them big 12 words. Antidotes. Why is there a C in there, Mike? That doesn't make sense. Who the hell made that word up? One goes in for the kill and the other is just a goofy guy. Which is which, Mike? Listen to find out. Keep doing what you're doing. I hope you guys are around for a long while. Well, Spicy Avocado, you stumped me with your big fancy words, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate that one, Spicy. And remember, for everyone out there, if you want a free beer koozie on us, all you got to do give us a 5-star written review like so many others, and send that over to us on Twitter, Reddit, or over at, we got a Gmail account, thatsecpodcast@gmail.com. We're happy to do that for each and every one of y'all.
Oh, well, see, this is, Google's telling me that antidote and antidote, are they the same? You know what, Mike? I'll Google later. All right, Mike. What'd you say? Did you say something good? Sounded good. Hey, have you been on our YouTube page? Guys, listen. Mike is starting to post. Now, he's not able to get all the videos, but he's trying. He's trying to put all the practice videos. So if you're curious what your team's up to, man, jump on the YouTube page, That SEC Podcast. What teams you got right now in there?
Right now we got Tennessee, LSU, Kentucky, and Arkansas on the way. So we're working to get the rest of those teams. These videos coming straight from the teams themselves. So just waiting to hear back on the rest of the teams.
I love them. I love them, man. So, yeah, jump on there. Take a look. See what your team's up to, man. Some of them look good. Some of these, I tell you, Garantano has put some weight on. You know, I didn't know that until I was watching some video clips. So, I love that. I love the YouTube presence. We're going to try to expand on that this season. But other than that, Mike, that's all I've got.
All right. Well, I got one curveball here, Shane. You said you like curveballs. I wanted to do this for the listeners. Of course, we're, like we said, we're brought to you by MyBookie. You can head on over there and gamble on these games. But we've got, as we're recording, hell, there's two games going on tonight. But this Saturday, three games here, Shane. Mm-hmm. And I want to test to see if your powers are still in effect.
Okay.
So we're going to, these are three games that me, Shane and I, you know, we're happy to admit we don't know anything about these games.
Right.
But we're going to make some picks. We're going to each make a pick, and we'll see how it goes, see if Shane's kiss of death is still alive. So we got three games to bet on. These are all available on mybookie.ag. Middle Tennessee State, MTSU.
Blue Raiders.
At Army. And Army's 3.5-point favorite. Okay, then we got one other. We got two other. SMU. They're 22.
Mustangs.
22.5-point favorites. At Texas State. And then Texas the big State. One.
Is that a real school?
As far as I know.
Is that the Armadillos?
I think they played the Aggies last year. Yeah, they lost to A&M in the.
Oh, yeah. I made fun of them last year. Sorry.
final game on the docket here. Arkansas State at Memphis. Memphis is a 19-point favorite. Ooh. Any of those intriguing to you, Shane?
I'm liking. Is Norvell still up here?
No, he's at Florida State.
He left. Okay. Ooh. Okay. I'm digging. I'm going to go with the Memphis game, and I'm going to go under. I think Memphis wins that game, mm-hmm. but not by 19.5. Arkansas State. I like them to cover the spread.
Ooh, that's a good pick, Shane. That would have been one I was looking at, but I'm going to go. Just because we're both living in Tennessee, MTSU, baby, on the road against Army and the points. I'll take the points. Oh. MTSU, 3.5. We'll find out, Shane. Now you got something to look
apparently,
at here.
Arkansas. Apparently Mike doesn't like the country. All right. You know what? They defend us, so I'm going to go. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Army there.
We'll find out on Monday. Shane's kiss of death for Arkansas State.
Yeah, Arkansas that's alive State locking in. $100 lock of the week. I don't know anything about him. Wait, Arkansas State. Who's the coach there? Didn't we talked up the coach last year?
Yeah, Blake Anderson, I believe is his name. He was on a couple SEC teams' radar, but he's a really good coach. So you might be onto something there, Shane. Maybe this is the year you get every pick right.
Oh man, wouldn't you imagine? 2020's been so crazy. It wouldn't blow your mind if it was the opposite. So you may hold on. You may want to do a $10 bet this week and just see how things are going.
Absolutely. Well, that's something to look forward to for the listeners. There's college football back in the air. Man, this is just a great time of year. We're 20 some odd days from SEC action. I'm fired up for it, Shane.
Let's do it, buddy. Let's turn it. Who's on right now?
Central Arkansas and UAB. That's the I've got on here.
Let's get the hell off here and watch some football, Mike.
All right. So thanks for joining me, Shane. As always, thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.
He may be back for an eighth year on Rocky Top with his free year of eligibility. Let's kick it over to Chris Winkie.
Get it, boy. Get it. You done? He heard you talk about Garantano.
Are you buying the Garantano hype?
One second. About to buy this. Throw this dog out in the yard, hop. Hey, quit. It's just Thunder, buddy. Get your vest on. Let's get your Thunder Buddy vest on, huh? Just kidding. I don't have one of those. I should get one.